Last week we were reading out of Ezekiel chapter 37, and we talked about this message entitled "The Problems and the Possibilities." Anybody in here got a problem? Anybody ever had a problem? Don't elbow the person next to you and make them feel all weird or anything. But how many of you ever had a problem? Now, sometimes when you have a problem, it's hard to see the possibilities of what can be done because of that problem. And so last week, what we did was we dove into Ezekiel 37 so that we can see the possibilities of what God can do, even though we have all of these problems. And one of the things that we said last week was to make sure that we didn't interpret the entire story of our life based off of one scene, one season, one episode in our life. Let's not let it determine everything throughout all of our lives. And so we had a couple of key points that we shared last week. I just want to recap before we jump into today's message. Last week, one of the things that we said, if we're going to see the possibilities, we need to have some vision. And the vision isn't just to see what the problem is, but it's to see what God sees, to see the possibilities of what God can do in that problem area. And so the action step that we gave was to see the problem, but seek the Savior. We're not trying to deny that we have problems, okay? Please, let's not act like we don't have a problem because we go to church, okay? Because trust me, we all have problems. So we need to be able to see what the problems are, but at the same time, we need to be able to seek the Savior because He will make it clear what we need to do and help us to see the possibilities. And then we also talked about how we talk about our problems, because how you talk about it is going to have a lot to do with how you see it and how you handle it. And so we said this action step, that we need to pray about it before we say anything about it. How many of you tend to open your mouth a little bit too soon? Don't raise your hand for the person. I know some of you got somebody in mind, but we don't need to do that, okay? And so that was last week. Today, I want to just grab a couple of scriptures out of Ezekiel chapter 37, and I just want to read this to you to set something up for this message today, and it's going to kind of go two ways. Today, I'm going to help you, but I also want to help dads out in here. How many dads would agree, I need a little bit of help? Come on. I know I need some help sometime. And so I want to share some things I believe is going to help you. Back to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 5 and 6. It says, "The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. And then He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?' 'O sovereign Lord,' I replied, 'you alone know the answer to that.' And then He said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.'" Now, I want you to pay attention to this part. This is what the sovereign Lord says, because He's basically telling them, this is what I'm going to do. He says, "I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath into you, and you will come to life." And watch this. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." I want to use this today as some text just to preach this message this morning. And so let's pray before we jump in. Lord, we thank You for our opportunity to gather together today. And Lord, we honor all of the fathers who are here amongst us, those who are going to be fathers, those who are standing in the place in someone's life to play a fathering role. And Father, I just pray that Your blessings will be upon them. But Father, even more than that, we honor You, our Heavenly Father, who has been so good and gracious to us. And Lord, today we're so thankful, Lord, that You have poured out Your love and Your mercy and grace and loved us in a perfect way by sending Jesus. And so, Lord, today I pray that as we're gathered here and this message is preached, I pray, God, that it will challenge our hearts. But Father, I pray it also will encourage us. So, Lord, I ask for Your help today in preaching this message. Thank You, Lord, that You have brought us together. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want to kind of back up for you a little bit, and I want to explain a little bit about this guy, Ezekiel, because sometimes you hear about these characters in the Bible, and you hear about what they do, but we're not always sure who they are, and this is going to give us a little bit of context today. So who is Ezekiel? Ezekiel is actually a prophet to the nation of Israel during the Babylonian captivity. They had sinned against God, and because of that, they had gotten into some things they had no business getting into as the chosen people of God, and as a result, they kind of let their guard down, and actually the Babylonians came and took them captive. And now that they have taken them captive, they're noticing that a lot of their beliefs, a lot of the things that they had grown up in and were taught and trained, is being challenged on a daily basis. Even in their captivity, the positions that they are taking within this new kingdom, it's changing their belief system, and they're intermarrying with other people, and all of their customs, all of the things that God had set in place has been broken down. But God always had a plan to restore them, and so he would send prophets along the way to come and speak these messages. And Ezekiel was one of the prophets that the Lord would use to come and speak a message to these chosen people, the children of Israel, to bring them back to God's original intended plan that he had for them. And I want you to know today that God will send people in your path to bring you to where he wants you to be. Amen. And we must be aware that God may send somebody in our life that we're unaware of. God may send a friend. God may put a coworker next to your cube that just may be used by him to help you to grow into the things that God has for you in your life. And so this guy Ezekiel is being used by God to speak messages from God to all of the children of Israel. But if you didn't know, Ezekiel is not only a prophet, but he is also a priest. Now, a priest in the Old Testament is someone who represents God to the people, but also represents the people to God. And basically, he is like a connector between God and the people. Now, you and I, we don't have to have a priest because Jesus came, and he is our great high priest. Amen. And once and for all, he made the way to the Father. So you and I, now we can have direct access to God because of Christ Jesus. Can I hear a good amen? And so you don't have to come through a preacher to get to Jesus. You can go boldly to the throne of grace. Elbow your neighbor and say, let's do this thing. Come on now. So we have a great high priest in Jesus, but Old Testament, Jesus hasn't come yet, and so God would send him these priests. Now, the thing about Ezekiel, if you didn't know this, he is a descendant of the Aaronic priesthood. Now, you're like, mind blown, what in the world? Moses, who started this whole thing with Israel, had a brother named Aaron, and Aaron was the guy who became the first priest of Israel. And so Aaron had sons who became priests, who had sons who became priests, who had sons who became priests. So fast forward all the way to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's great, 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 somewhere down the line, grandfather is Aaron. Okay, are you grabbing this? So he has this priest thing that is going, but he's also a prophet. In fact, it's believed that Ezekiel was an advisor to three Hebrew children that were taken captive. You may have heard of them before, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is believed that he was an advisor to them when they were trying to figure out, do I bow down to this idol that Nebuchadnezzar had built, that he said, if we don't bow down, we get thrown into the fiery furnace. It is believed that Ezekiel advised these guys, don't bow down to the idol. And if you don't know the rest of the story, they didn't bow down. The king lost his mind, threw him in a fiery furnace, and they walked straight through the furnace, except there wasn't three people in there. There was four, and the fourth one is likened unto the Son of Man. Amen. And so God was with him even in the middle of the fiery furnace. But it is believed that Ezekiel was one of those guys who was advising them during that time. Now, also something you might find interesting is Ezekiel's father's name is Buzzy. Just a little something for you. I mean, you can go impress your friends with that this week. It's pretty deep. It's also believed that he is a descendant of Joshua, which would put him in the lineage of Jesus. So this Ezekiel guy has got a little bit of credibility, okay? I don't want you to just think this dude is walking through a valley one day and starts tripping and sees a bunch of things and starts saying stuff. I mean, this guy's got some legitimacy coming from behind him, okay? And so here he is. He's got this impressive family background. All of Israel has fallen apart, and Lord has called this guy Ezekiel to come and be a key player in its restoration. In other words, God is calling Ezekiel to come and handle this situation. And this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, Handle It. Handle It. Look at your neighbor and ask them, do you have anything you need to handle today? Handle It is the title of the message. Now, let's make a couple of observations here. So God tells Ezekiel, this is what I'm going to do. And he begins to break it down, that I'm going to restore them. I'm going to put flesh on them. I'm going to breathe into them. And basically, God is saying, this is what I'm going to do. I just need you to handle it. He tells him how he is going to restore Israel. The first thing he says, I'm going to put flesh and muscles on them. In other words, God is going to give them strength. God is going to strengthen them. And I want you to know that God can strengthen you as well. And not just a physical strength, but also an emotional strength and a spiritual strength. Okay, so when you hear God can strengthen you, I don't want you to just think one-dimensionally, oh, he's going to make me feel better about it. He can give you physical strength. He can give you emotional strength. He can also give you spiritual strength. Okay, another thing he said is that he would give skin to cover these bones. In other words, something to protect them. God wants to protect them. And not just an external protection, but an internal protection. Amen? Also an eternal protection. God wants to save you because he has eternity in mind. Even when we're just thinking about right now, God is already thinking about eternity because his plan is for you and I to spend eternity together with him. Good thing God's got a plan, amen, because most of the time we aren't thinking about that, but God has a plan. Another thing he says is, I'm going to put breath into these bones. I'm going to put breath into you. In other words, I want to give new life. Say new life today. God wants to give us a new life, a fresh and abundant life, one that is abundant with love, one is abundant with his power and his purpose. And it's not just for the present, not just for what's right now, but life that even covers and redeems your past, amen, and something that sets you up even for your future. You see, you got to believe that God's got something for your life, or else you'll stay stuck where you've always been. Can I get an amen today? Okay, so that's just a few observations. I want to tell you this story just to kind of hinge this thing today. And it would not be appropriate unless I shared on this Father's Day a message about my own dad. And trust me, we have many, many stories about my dad. And one of my favorite stories is my mom had always wanted us to have a swimming pool at our house. Now, we lived in South Louisiana, and so there are some interesting swimming pool situations out there, just to be honest with you, okay? Most of the time, we'll just swim in a pond. We do not swim in bayous. Let me explain something. You do not swim in bayous. That's how you die. You don't swim in bayous, okay? You leave those alone. You swim in ponds. You swim in lakes, or you swim in rivers. That's where you swim, but not in the bayous, okay? And so my mom had always wanted to have a swimming pool, and my dad never wanted to spend the money. How many of you had a dad like that, just didn't want to spend the money? And my dad never wanted to. And somehow or another, my mom broke my dad down. I don't know how she did it, but got him to the point to where he agreed to get a pool, except if we were going to get a pool, he was not digging a hole in his yard. It was going to be one of those above-ground pool things, okay? And of course, the family I grew up in, we did everything ourselves. We never asked someone to come and do it. We never hired people. We figured it out, and we built it. And so my dad, along with myself and my brother, my older brother, we embarked on this great journey of building an above-ground swimming pool. And if you've ever done that before, you would pray for the mercy of God, because it is hard work, okay? And so we built this pool, and we actually felt pretty good about it. I mean, we had it in the backyard. It was looking pretty nice, and the water was actually clear. And so we just can't wait to swim. And so we're noticing that my dad is starting to kind of get into it with this swimming pool thing. And so he wanted to kind of make the backyard look really, really nice. And so back at the end of our property, there was a fence line. It had a lot of trees along it. And we noticed that the trees were casting a shadow over the pool. And the last thing my dad wanted to do was scoop leaves out of the pool, you know, from all the trash. So my dad said, we're going to cut some trees down. And so he said, son, I need your help. And so he grabbed my brother and I, and he said, I want you to climb that tree, and I want you to tie a rope to it. And I want you to pull that rope all the way on the other side of the fence. And whenever I begin to cut the tree, I need you to pull it, or else the tree's going to fall and land on the pool. Okay? And so we're so excited that this is actually happening. Like, dad is getting into it. We're fired up. And so my brother and I, we're holding the rope, and my dad's down there with the chainsaw, and he's cutting and cutting. And you know, as a kid, you kind of get like, you get intoxicated with what's going on in the moment. And so we're watching him cut the tree. Now, we're holding the rope, but we're so caught up with him cutting the tree that we're not pulling. And so he's cutting, and he's screaming, pull, pull, and we're just watching the tree fall right onto the pool. And at that moment, my dad decided to express himself. I mean, he really began to express himself and his dislike for our situation. And he was letting us know why he never wanted a pool in the first place. He even said, I knew this was going to happen. And so this tree fell onto the wall. The pool was already full. I mean, we were ready to go swimming, but Dad said, no, we got to get all this done. And so it dented the top of the wall and water is pouring out. And my dad's throwing the chainsaw and he's over there trying to straighten the thing out, trying to hold the water. So he fixes it. He fixes it. And that moment was almost one of those moments where it was bye-bye, y'all. I mean, because my dad would take the whole thing out. In fact, I have a whole nother story I'll tell you another time where he did take the whole pool out in seconds. But that's for another day. So he says, what happened? He asks us, what happened? We were like, Dad, we held the rope. He said, I didn't ask you to hold it. I asked you to pull it. See, he didn't want us just to hold on and watch. He wanted us to handle it. And so many of us in our lives, we're holding on and we're watching, but we're not doing a good job of handling it. It's almost like, is this really happening right now? Like, are you serious? This is oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be pulling. Too late, it all done fell apart. Anybody ever been there before? Like, you're supposed to be taking action, but you're so mesmerized by what's happening. It's like, almost dumbfounded. Like, is this really happening? Like, is my kid actually doing that? I know we're in public, and I'm supposed to be using some discipline, but I'm just, like, blown away that my child has chosen to do this in a public place. Like, we do not do this, but just one of those moments. I love telling this story in my middle son, Judah. There was this one day where, I mean, he was in some deep water. He was in some trouble. And I felt the need to be a father and just bring some correction into his life. And so I was really trying to do it with the right tone and the right manner. And Cynthia was there. She was my witness. You can ask her. I'm telling the truth. I was not overreacting, losing my mind, or expressing myself in the way my father would. And so I'm just trying to have a moment with my son, and I'm saying, son, I need you to look at me. And so we're looking at each other in the eye, like eye to eye, and I'm just trying to bring some discipline to his life to correct him. And you know what he does? He winks at me. I had to walk away. I'm out of here. I'm just like, so I go to Cynthia, did you see what he did to me? And she's laughing over there. I'm like, are you going to help me? Like, I don't know what to do. I'm just holding on, watching it happen. No clue. No clue what to do. No clue. Just trying to hold on. You ever been there before? Just trying to hold on. Trying not to lose it. Just trying to hold on. And there's a lot of situations in our lives that we need to handle. Now, let me insert something right here. Because some of you, you're like, you love handling things. You are the handler. You know what I'm saying? And so when it comes to handling things, if you get an ounce of permission, that's it. Like, you will just run people over and take over the world. That's not what I'm talking about today. I really want to get specific with things even in your life personally. I'm not just talking about with you and your spouse. I'm not just talking about you and your children. It does apply, but I want to talk about you with you. How well are you handling you? As a father, how well are you handling you? Because, yeah, we know that you can lay down the law and you can handle the situation at home, but how well are you handling you? A lot of times we're just holding on, and whenever all hell breaks loose, we react. And sometimes instead of handling it, we fly off the handle. Ever been there before? We fly off the handle. And I can tell you, having grown up around a father who could handle it and also could fly off the handle, I've also learned how to fly off the handle. And my kids could say amen right there. Lord, when he called Ezekiel, he didn't just want him to come and hold on and make it through this captivity. He didn't ask him just to endure to the end. He's now asking him to play a part in handling this brokenness that is going on in the nation of Israel. Now, what you have to understand is God is not asking him to perform miracles. God isn't asking him to do the miracle. God is just asking him to play a part in the miracle. You see, because God is the miracle worker, he just needed a mouthpiece. He just needed a voice. And sometimes we get our roles confused. Sometimes we feel like we have to be the miracle worker, which is why we become control freaks. We feel like we have to control it. But what we have to understand is that God is the miracle worker, and I just need to be a part of his massive plans. I just need to be a voice sometimes. I just need to be a servant, if you will, to what God is doing. And so it's not just a matter of holding on and just seeing what God's going to do, but it's literally working together with what God is doing. So that his plans and purposes can be accomplished in our lives, okay? So I want to give you a few things this morning just to help you learn how to handle it. And you can fill in the blank with all kinds of things that you feel like need to be handled in your life, okay? So this morning the question is, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle these situations where things get broken down? How are you going to do it? And here's the first thing I believe that we got to keep in mind as we're handling it. The first thing is this, is that we have to make sure that we represent God. In how you handle these things, make sure that you represent God. Let's remember back now. Ezekiel was a prophet, so he's a part of the process, and it almost sounds like he's the boss man on the job, just telling everybody what to do. Hey, Bones, y'all get it together. Breath, come breathe on it. Let's go. Move it. That's what it feels like it is going on here. But we must remember that he is also a priest, and so he has this awesome responsibility of representing God to the people and representing the people to God. And so he stands in the middle almost like a diplomat who represents both sides. And so now the responsibility is greater because he can't just do his own thing. He can't just do his own thing and expect to be a good representation of the people to God and a representation of God to the people. He is a middleman, and so therefore he has to make sure that if this nation is going to be restored, he has to represent the life-giving nature of God to those people, even though he may not feel like it. Even though he may want to tell him a few things of his own. Anybody ever been there? The Lord wants to give somebody an encouraging word, and he starts encouraging them, and you're like, and let me tell you something else you need to tell them. You ought to tell them to get it together. They don't just need to hear about the love of God. They also need to hear about the wrath of God. Come on, don't act like you ain't ever thought that before. You've been there. And there is wrath. I mean, I'm just saying there is. But, I mean, don't feel like you got to insert stuff where God's talking. Okay. Here's something I thought about when we're handling it, when we're handling these life situations. We have to make sure that we represent a lot more than just our feelings, a lot more than just our opinions, a lot more than our emotions. And that's what we tend to do because we have opinions on everything. And we have thoughts and we have perspectives on everything. And we feel like they're so legit, so we feel like we have to enforce it. But I want to ask this question. Are we going to misrepresent God in expressing that perspective? Are we going to misrepresent God in an attempt just to be real? Are we going to misrepresent God to those people in an attempt to share how we really, really feel? Because I don't know if you've ever been on the other side where maybe someone misrepresented God. It can cause some hurt. Amen? It can cause some hurt. And so I want us to know today that we represent so much more than just ourselves. Amen? You represent your family. You represent your friendships. You represent God. You represent your church. And so you have to be aware of who you belong to and what you're a part of, and make sure that in how we live our lives and how we're speaking into these situations that we got to handle, we have to make sure that we're representing God and not just ourselves. Can I get a good amen right there? Are you representing God? You know, the church is the representatives of God in the world today. And in a world that is full of responses and full of replies, the world needs to see a church that is representing God. Amen? They need to see not just somebody that has a reply to something that is on social media, but they need to see a representation of God in the earth today. And that is what the church is called to be. Can I hear an amen? So 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "For you are a chosen people." Watch this. "You are royal priests." Now this is talking about the church. You're chosen by God, but you're also royal priests, meaning this, that you have a kingdom responsibility to represent God to people and represent people to God. How well are we representing? He says that you're God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Amen? That's what he's called the church to be his representatives. And also, I would say this, that dads are representatives of God to the family. You ever had someone say it like this, that the father is the what? Priest of the home. Now, there's been a lot of guys that when they say that, they beat their chest a couple times and try to run the show. And really, whenever we're saying that the father is the priest of the home, what we're saying is that he is a representation of God to his family, but he's also a representation of his family to God. Amen? And can you see how that is needed? We got to have someone who will represent. And so I want us to remember this today, that in everything that we have to handle, in every situation that you have to handle, I want us to remember who and what we represent. Remember who you're representing here. And that always puts us in the place to be an example. Amen? And so if we're going to handle it, let's remember, wait a minute, I've got to represent God. The next time that your children act in a certain manner that warrants some correction and some adjustment and some alignment, represent God. And you say, which version, Old Testament or New Testament, Pastor? I mean, come on, help a brother out. I'd lean a little more towards the new if I was you. I'm just saying. I mean, if you believe in the mercy and grace of God and you need it for your own life, you better give it to them. Amen? Amen? Okay, so how are you going to handle it? The first thing, you want to represent God. Here's the second thing, though. Not only do you need to represent God, but you also have to give what you got. You got to give what you got. Now, here's what's interesting. When my dad is cutting this tree, my brother and I are holding that rope, we didn't give anything. In fact, I think my brother and I looked at each other after it happened and laughed. And that just sent Dad into a whole nother level of, man, that was such a vivid day. What a day. Give what you got. Every situation that you encounter, all these problems, they're going to require something from you. And you've seen it. You've lived long enough to see that everything that you're dealing with in your life, it's asking something from you. It's requiring something of you. Earlier we mentioned that God, he wanted to give Israel strength. He wanted to give them protection. He wanted to give them new life. And I want you to remember at this point right here that you can't give what you don't have. If you don't have it, you can't give it. Okay? And so God is looking at a broken nation and realizes that they don't have much. And so he wants to give it to them in order to restore them. But he's got this guy, Ezekiel, who is a representative. He is a prophet. He is a voice of God. And God just needs him to give what he's got. And at this point, all he's got is a voice. That's it. He's got a voice. And God just wants him to take what he has and use it in order to bring about what God had promised for these people. And we have lived long enough to know that this thing that we have, this mouth, it can either bring life or it can bring death. It can either speak blessings or it can speak curses over a person's life. And so this is what Ezekiel's got, and God wants him to use it to speak life, even though all he sees is death. Got to give what you got. So here's some questions I want to ask you this morning. Where are you getting your strength from? Let me ask it like this to take it a little bit further. Where are you getting your motivation from? We have strong people. You know, I know that. There's a lot of strong-willed people in this place today. Nod your head and go ahead and agree with me because you know who you are. Some strong-willed people in here. So there is some strength in this place. Here's the question. Where are you getting that from? Where are we getting our strength from? And what are we doing with that strength? Are we using it appropriately? Are we taking what we have and using it in an appropriate manner? Where are you getting your protection from? What are you using to cover you? What are you using? Where are you finding your safe place at? Are you finding your safety in the Lord? Are you finding your safety in other things? And even though they may be good, that doesn't mean that they are God. Amen? And sometimes you can hide in a place that you were never meant to hide. You were supposed to stand. But we're hiding because it's given us a sense of protection. Where are you finding life from? What is the source of life for you? Where are you getting enjoyment? Where are you finding fulfillment? Are we finding it in things other than what God had planned for and what God has given us? Are we looking to alternative places for something that only God can give us? So think of this. You have problems and situations in your life for you personally that are going to require some grace. Amen? I know right here you want to say, Lord, have mercy on me. All right? So we need some grace. We need mercy. We need strength. We need wisdom. We need love. Where are you going to get it from? Because you can't give what you don't have. So when you have a real life situation that's going on, you can only give it what you can only give that situation what you got. And if you don't have anything, most of the time, you're going to give them what somebody else gave you. And it may not be the God thing. And so this is why we see generationally, and listen, it's happened to me. I've seen it happen to my dad. I've worked with my dad and my grandfather at the same time, and I notice my dad reacting to things the same way my grandfather does. And then I notice in my own life, I react the same way both of them did. And can I tell you, it's not good. Because you're thinking, oh, Pastor Wade, that is legacy. That is not legacy. That is ludicrous. It's crazy. Seriously. And so we react to things because of how we saw it. And so it's a situation that needs to be handled. And so we're giving it what we saw and what we experienced instead of what God is giving us. And that's where we can see we had some sources that were not, watch this, reliable. They were good people, but they were not reliable. Today in our news system, they are finding sources everywhere. And the source isn't always reliable. But what are they doing? They're just speaking it out. They're just saying it because any news is news today. And sometimes we get to the point with these situations, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'll just say and do anything because it's better than the situation. Come on now. Don't know what to do anymore. So where are we going to get it from? Where are we going to find this grace, this strength, this love, this truth, this wisdom? So watch this. The first thing is this. I have to get it. That means I got to seek God. I got to seek God for his grace. I got to seek God for his love, his truth, his strength, his wisdom. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? See, we're so busy reacting. Why don't we stop first and hear from God before we react so that we can have a plan of action? Amen? Give. You got to get it. You seek God. The second thing, you got to give it. If I get it, I got to give it. And this means you got to sacrifice. And this is where it gets hard. Because sometimes it means the way I would usually react, because I got some wisdom now, I'm not going to react that way. But oh, buddy, trust me, I could hit a switch. Come on now. Now, y'all looking at me like I got all the problems, but I know some of you, and you don't even have a switch. It's just straight to that. You know that this is what you're supposed to do, but if you push me, if you mess with me, I will show you what else I got. But this is where I have to learn to sacrifice. I got to sacrifice my opinions. That's a hard one. I have found that that is one of the hardest things for us to sacrifice, is our opinions. Can I get an amen right there? Because don't act like I'm the only one. But in order for them to get the grace, love, mercy, wisdom, truth from God, I got to make sure I give them what God's got instead of what I've got. See, this is where it becomes really dangerous with giving them a piece of our mind. This is where it's dangerous, because we may mix in a little cocktail of what God said with a little bit of what we said, and we don't realize the damage that it can do to a person. In fact, some of us, we're victims of it. We've had people that mixed it up and have told us things that have wounded us. And it puts us right back in the place of running to God. So I got to get it by seeking God. I got to give it. I got to sacrifice myself. And then I got to go for it by serving others. So we're just talking about handling it. I got to think about serving. Most of the time our thought is self. I got to preserve myself. But the way God does things is he wants to put us in a place to serve. And this is why Jesus made this statement that whoever wants to be great must first become a servant. And for some reason, we think we can reach greatness without servanthood. Like greatness is something to be achieved. But greatness, the roadway, the pathway to greatness is only through serving. So in handling the situations, we have to ask ourselves some questions. Not only am I representing God, but do I have something to give to this situation? Yes, I do. I give what God gave me. Do I have some wisdom to add to it? Do I have some mercy and grace to give to it? Do I have some love to give to it? Do I have some truth to give to it? Or do I just have an opinion? I want to give what God's got, because if I'm going to see this situation handled, if I'm going to see it changed, only God can change it. But God wants to use me as a voice. He wants me to be that priest. Are you hearing this today? And so think of it in terms as a father. Are we showing our families how to seek God? Are we showing our families how to give what God has given them? Are we showing our families what sacrifice looks like? Are we showing our families what servanthood looks like? If we're going to handle our family, if we're going to have a grip on this thing called life, then we must make sure that we're always seeking God. We must make sure that we're always willing to sacrifice. We must make sure that we're always a servant. And can I just tell you, that is pretty much the theme of a child of God. Seeking, serving, and sacrifice. John 15 says it like this: there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another. It's a picture of sacrifice. In these situations that you're handling it, are you representing God? Are you giving what you got? And where are you getting what you got? Where are you getting it from? Here's the last thing. Represent him, give what you got, but it's all about who you know. My dad told me this years ago. He said, son, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And you know, when you're a kid, you don't feel like hearing that. It's like, dude, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're twice my age, but you don't know anything. You hadn't lived long enough. I've come to find out that's true. Learn everything you can, but relationships are so important. See, I've seen many people graduate from college and have every dream under the sun and throw resumes out at the whole entire world and couldn't land a job, and then somebody knew somebody. Come on, how many of you ever got a job that way? Somebody knew somebody. There you go. It's all about who you know. Ezekiel 37:6, this is what the Lord says: then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have found that we always want to know the what. What do I do? What's next? What's wrong? We always want to know the what. But God wants to show us who. Break it down. We want to know what we got to do. We want to know what God can do, right? But God wants to show us who we are. He wants to show us who he is. And when we know who he is, we begin to understand all that he can do. That's where we understand that nothing is impossible for God, because we understand that he is the Almighty God who is sovereign, who created all the heavens and the earth, and that nothing is too difficult for him. But if all we seek is what he can do, then we're going to be let down when he doesn't do what we thought he should do, because we don't know who he is, and we won't even know his reason behind it, because we don't know who he is. That's a lot in a moment right there, but the bottom line is, you better know him. You have to know him. Know that he is the Lord. know that he is the Lord. Lord is a ruler, but he's also an overseer. I'm going to break this down for you. I'm putting in Cajun terms for you to make it really easy. You know what an overseer does? He can see over. That thing that you're dealing with, you can't see past it. All you see is that right now. But he is the Lord. He is the overseer. He can see over that obstacle. He can see over that mountain. He can see over that problem. Somebody right now is getting some hope because the Lord can see that there is still a future. Even though that problem that is staring you down is saying, this is the end for you. The Lord is saying, I'm not finished with you yet. Can I hear an amen? Because he sees over it. And I want to ask you today, is he your overseer? Are you allowing him to be the Lord of your life? Or are you just going to him every now and then just to give you a little bit of something, something to make you feel better about all this craziness that's going on in your life? He's an overseer. Let's let him be the Lord of our life. And so he calls us, watch this, to trust him. That's the foundation of relationships, is trust. Trust him to be, watch this, the source. He is the source of my information. He is the source of my perspective. He is the source of my outlook, because I don't see it all, but that's okay. I have someone who is in a high place that I can call on, and I can say, hey, Lord, what do you see coming down the road? And I can trust his perspective. That's why the Bible says the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous can run to it and are safe. The safe place that we run to is the Lord, because he can oversee all of it. You're always going to have a desire. You're always going to want information. In other words, some perspective from the outside. But I want you to know this, God can give you perspective from the inside. There's an inside connection that God has opened up for you and I to have. So instead of just seeking information, let's ask God for, watch this, some revelation. Reveal not just what's going on, but help me to see the bigger picture. Amen? Help me to see this bigger picture. And so I want to ask this question. Who is your go-to? Who's helping you to see it? Who's giving you some perspective? Who are you going to? Are you going to the Lord? Or are you just going to somebody? And whoever that somebody is, they should be pointing you to the Lord. Amen? Make sure that that person that you go to is pointing you to the Lord and not just sharing their observations. Listen, we can go to the edge of a mountain and have all the observations we want, but if we're going to go from this mountain to that mountain, I need somebody to get me there, and I don't know if somebody can get me there just based off of an observation. Amen? I need somebody that's got some revelation that says, I know a way. And thankfully, God knows a way. So let's wrap it up right here. The best way to handle it, situations that are going on in your life, is to handle it like your father. It's to handle it like your father. To represent him. To give what he has given you. And remember, it's all about who you know. Now I want to finish that story I told you earlier about my dad and us cutting down these trees, and I'm going to need some help. Gary's going to come and help me with this. After that tree fell on that pool, that was not the last tree that we cut that day. We cut about 10 more. But none of the others fell on the tree, because my dad came and showed us how to handle it. He came and showed us exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And so we cut the rest of those trees. We pulled them all down, and afterwards, my brother and I, we both had a moment where we realized we were able to do things that we didn't think that we could do, because we learned how to handle it the way our dad showed us to. And today, if we can learn how to handle these life situations the way our father is showing us, we're going to wind up in places where we're saying, I never thought I would be able to do this. I never thought I could handle that. I didn't know what I was capable of, but my Father positioned me and gave me some opportunities to do some things to handle it. He trusted me not just to hold it and watch it, but to handle it. And now I'm doing things I never thought that I can do. And most importantly, this was what was so cool about it. He was right there. He was right there, not just wanting us to work for him, not just to do something for him. He was setting us up to do something with him. We were working together, and because we were working together, we were accomplishing more. Who you working with? Are you working with the Father today? Are you going to represent him? Are you going to give what you got? Is it all about who you know? One verse, and then I'm going to show you this before we close. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Felt like this was such an appropriate verse. Paul says this. He says, so take a new grip with your tired hands. These situations that you're trying to handle right now that you feel like you're losing control of, you can't handle it anymore, take a new grip with your tired hands. To finish this message, I have this short illustration to show you. Gary in his hands. Give it up for Gary, manly man. Hold on. He's anxious. The sledgehammer that he has in his hands is useful, because with this, he can build something. But with this, he can also destroy. God has given us things, and you can either use it to build or you can use it to destroy. He's given you this mouth. You can use it to build or you can use it to destroy. But we got to make sure that we handle it. And so that whenever we swing it, and I'm going to stand out the way, we got to make sure that whenever we start swinging what we got, that we don't, go ahead, Gary, that we don't fly off the handle. Now, I wanted to do that today to show you something, because a lot of us, when it comes to handling situations, our first reaction, we fly off the handle. And some of you, in these situations you're in, your fear has you flying off the handle. Your anger has you flying off the handle. And I stood back and we slung it this way instead of your way, because we did not want anyone getting hurt. We used wisdom from the Lord. Amen. We sought him today. We were seeking the Lord for wisdom. See, with this, we can't do a whole lot. Now, some of you are like, well, I'll tell you what you can do with that. I know some kids that need to be straightened up, but that's mean. It's obvious that this handle isn't working anymore. And some of us, we got some old ways of handling things that aren't working. And so we need to find, go ahead and pull it out, Gary. We need to find a new way to handle it. Go ahead, man, put it back together. We got to find a new way to handle it so that we can put this thing back to work. And so the purpose for which it was created, now we can begin to use it to build, amen? Now we can use it to build our families. Now we can use it to build the kingdom of God. Now we can use it to build a pathway to the purpose that God has for us in our lives, instead of flying off the handle all the time, where we spend all of our time in recovery mode, trying to fix it, trying to, oh, we were supposed to, but this came up and now I got to go fix this. I got to go tell them I'm sorry again. If we would have just remembered, number one, represent God. Amen? Come on. How many of you, you're like, I know, Pastor Wade, I don't even preach that thing today. Represent God. It's a challenge. But now he's got this thing put together and we can begin to use it. And you don't have to worry about, I'm not going to swing it. Don't worry. I don't want to make some of the other dads feel a little less. That wasn't a good representation of God. How many of you are ready to handle it? You've been holding on. And some of you, you've even said it, I've been holding on for so long. It's time to handle it. But if you're going to handle it, handle it like your father. Amen. Dads, handle it like your heavenly father. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this room today. Most important thing is knowing that he is the Lord. Maybe you're here today, you're around, you hear about it, but this message is challenging you because maybe you don't really know the Lord. Maybe you're away from God. Maybe your relationship isn't where it needs to be with him today. Today is the day to come back to the Lord. Maybe you're a dad that's away from God and you really want to represent God to your family. You can, even in this message today, you can. It seems like all the right buttons are being pressed and you say, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. And you're holding on, but you haven't been handling it. Today is the day to surrender completely to the Lord. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm away from God. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. I understand the need for a relationship, but if I was to evaluate my relationship with God today, I am not where I need to be. And today, I need to surrender completely to him. Allow him to be my Lord. If that's you this morning, I want you real quick, would you lift a hand and say, Pastor, would you pray with me? Anyone else? You're not the only one. Come on, anyone else would say, Pastor, will you pray with me? I'm taking matters into my own hands, and instead of you handling it, I've been trying to handle all of my righteousness. I've been trying to be good enough, and I realize the only way I can be good enough is to surrender my life to the one who is great. Anyone else today? Okay. I want us to pray this prayer all together this morning. No one left out. We're going to say it out loud. And I'm going to hear you pray. And those of you who raised your hands, maybe it's the first time. Maybe this is a recommitment to the Lord. You're coming back to him today. I want us to pray this together. Say, Dear Lord, I thank you that you are a great Father who loves me unconditionally. And even when I was out in my sin, you still love me. And Lord, today, I respond to that love. I surrender my life completely to you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to wash me clean, and to make me a new person. I choose today to follow your ways instead of living my own. I choose, Lord, you over me. And I thank you now that you're making me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.